And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Let me just read that last verse one more time. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. What is worth so much? What is so precious, so valuable, that Alex and Susanna would be willing to leave a country they're familiar with, leave family they love, leave an environment that their children are familiar with, leave behind a church family that they've become so much a part of and are so loved by, and move to Nairobi and then, God willing, on to Tanzania? What is worth so much that they're willing to take their precious little children out of an environment they're familiar with and put them into an environment that they're unfamiliar with? What is worth, what is so precious, so valuable, that a church family like ours would be willing today to stand up and say, Alex and Susanna, we send you off with our love and with our blessing and with our financial support, even though we'd much rather just keep you here because we love you and actually it would be much cooler if you were just here with us? What is worth so much that people all over this world, and I could tell you story after story of people who do this, all over this world, people give up everything for this thing. What is it that's worth so much, so valuable? Their jobs, their careers, their lives. History itself is scattered with stories of people who give up so much. Some of you may have seen recently on the BBC the story of a man named Jim Elliot, who ventured deep into the Amazon jungle and gave his life. He was murdered by a very unreached, violent tribe. And then what is worth so much to a man like Jim Elliot that he would do that? And then the most amazing thing is, what is worth so much that his bereaved wife would then take their toddler daughter and go and live amongst the people who killed her husband? What is worth so much that you would do that? What is worth so much that you'd be willing to give your very life for it? To labour the point, what is worth so much that the Lord Jesus would give up the treasures of heaven, come to this earth, taking on flesh, suffered and was abused and died at the cross? He gave up his own life for this thing. What is worth so much? What is so great a cause? What is so valuable that people do so much for it? Well, the answer can be found in the short bit of the Bible that we've read together today. Will you look there with me? It's up on the screen. I'm sorry, that's come out in micro print. I have no idea why that is. But have a look at verse 24. This is what is worth so much. However, Paul says, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. What is worth so much? It is what Paul describes here as the gospel of God's grace. The gospel, the good news. Now that's not, I know you've heard me say this before, but that's not kind of, oh, good news, you know, Asda's got an offer on Coca-Cola or something. That's kind of good news, but it's not good news. Gospel news is world-transforming news. And Paul says, here he describes it as the good news, the gospel of God's grace. That word is a Bible word that talks about God's undeserved kindness to a world that actually does not deserve it. It's the message of how men and women from every tribe and language and nation can be restored to the relationship with God that they were made to have. It's the message of God's proactive goodness. The message of a God who, even though the world He created has walked away from Him and turned their back on Him, it's the message of a God who says, do you know what, I still love you and I still want to help you and I'm going to give you a way to be restored to me, to be forgiven. At its heart, the gospel of God's grace is the message of Jesus. It's the message of Jesus Christ, promised years before He came into this world. Sent by the Father, crucified, risen from the grave, ascended to heaven, and one day returning as judge. And that, friends, is the message of God's grace. It is a message worth so much, so precious, so valuable, that Jesus was willing to come to earth to achieve this grace, that men and women like you and me might be forgiven and restored. It is a grace worth so much that this man, Paul, he can stand in front of a group of men and say to them, do you know what? I consider my life worth nothing to me compared to this gospel of God's grace and taking this gospel of God's grace to others. That's how valuable it was to Paul. You see, just look at the story. Look at verse 23. This is what's coming up for him. He gets told by the Spirit, I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. But what's Paul's reaction as he carries this gospel? I consider my life worth nothing to me. That's how valuable it is. And it's this grace of God, this message of God's grace, this message of Jesus, that I know, because I've spent time with them, that mean Alex and Susanna want to leave this country and go somewhere else. And it is this message of God's grace that means that as a church, we think, despite wanting to keep them here, it's okay to send them on. And verse 24 shows us something. It shows us that this gospel of God's grace, this message of His undeserved kindness to a rebellious world, is something worth living for with all of your life. And actually, it's something worth dying for as well. It's something worth giving up everything for. And I want to just very simply spend some time this morning chewing over verse 24 together. Because it's a bit of a mouthful, but it's a model mindset of a missionary. It's a model mindset of a believer. This is the way that someone thinks when they understand how precious the gospel is. See, if you don't think the gospel is precious, then you won't say verse 24. There's more important things. My life, actually, I want to hang on to my life. But if you see the worth of the gospel, this is how you'll think. Paul is a man who was imitating this from Jesus. Jesus knew that the gospel of God's grace that He came into the world to bring into being was so important, He was willing to lay down His life for it. And Paul was a man who knew that, and he lived out that, and he sets us a model that we might follow. And so let me show you two things about this gospel, a way of thinking that we should imitate this morning. Here's the first thing. The good news of Jesus is worth everything you have to keep believing to the end. My daughter Jessica, where is she? There she is down there. My daughter Jessica, a couple of weeks ago, got put into a sports competition between lots of local schools. And we turned up to this competition, it was really exciting, and she got put on hurdles. Now, Jessica's never run a hurdles race in her life. So there she is, she's standing at the start of this race. As a dad, I'm there like, woo! Come on, Jessie, this is good. This is the moment. And, you know, thinking I was going to have a great triumphant moment. And Jessie, she set off with great vigour. The race started so well. She ran, she leapt the first hurdle, she ran a bit further, she got to the second hurdle, and then, boom, landed on the floor. And all the parents and all the kids watching went, as she smashed to the ground. But she got up, and she started running again. And we're like, yeah, everyone's like cheering. You know, we've lost the rest of the race, have no idea what's going on. They're just watching Jessie now. And Jessie's running, she gets over the next hurdle, and then, boom, hits the floor again. Trips over the hurdle. And by this stage, there's blood running down her arms, and you know, and I'm as a dad thinking, oh, this is awful, you know, like, and there's these, is that your daughter? Everyone's saying to me, and she hits the ground, but then she gets up. And she keeps running. And she leaps over the final hurdle and crosses the line, and the crowd's like going wild. And maybe a slight sort of preacher's exaggeration. But yeah, that's exaggeration. Yeah, yeah, and preachers. If the two together is a terrible thing. But the point is, she finished the race. And she got a prize the next day at school because she finished the race. Covered in blood, bruised, bleeding, had to be taken off to the little St. John's ambulance van. But she finished the race. You see, look with me at verse 24. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race. Finishing the race means more to Paul than his own life. It means more to Paul than his own comforts, than his own benefits, than his own preserving his own little kingdom where he's comfortable and happy. Now, what race? What race is he talking about? Is he talking about the Ephesus Marathon? You know, I've got to make the city, you know, it's the Ephesus Marathon, I've got to run it. Now, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the race of following Jesus. The race, the course, the track of believing this message of God's grace, of his kindness to us in the Lord Jesus. It's this race in life of people who stick with the truth that it's by faith alone, in Christ alone, that we are saved for eternity. And Paul often likens the Christian life to a race. Not because we're competing with each other. That would be really awkward, wouldn't it? You know, like in church, we've got to be better than others and we've got to be more trusting than Jesus. It's not because we're competing that he likens it to a race. But he likens the Christian life to a race because it takes energy and it takes effort and it's got a goal. Friends, we are running for a goal. We're running for a line, for a tape. And that is what he calls the prize. He refers to it in several of his letters, the prize of heaven, the prize of being with our Saviour forever, having finished the race, trusting in the Lord Jesus. It's a prize that is given to us, not earned. At the end of his life, it's interesting, this is one of the cool things about the New Testament, is it's written over a long period of Paul's life. And so as you come to one of the New Testament letters called 2 Timothy, actually Paul's very close to the end of his life. He was probably fairly young here, but he was old in 2 Timothy. And listen to what he says to Timothy. He says there, I have finished, bless you, Yannick, I have finished the race. I have finished the race. What is held out to us in the gospel of God's grace, the message of Christ crucified and risen, is so valuable. Please hear this. It is so valuable for our own souls, for our own eternity, that it should be worth everything to us to make sure we stick with Jesus to the very end. That we get to the end of the race believing this message, not knocked off course. Jesus tells a story of a man who's digging in a field. And he comes across a tin of treasure. And it's so valuable. He works out that this treasure chest is worth so much that he goes away and he sells everything he has to buy this field and make sure that treasure becomes his. And Jesus says, I am that treasure. I'm the one. When you find me, you find something that is worth more than anything else you can own. You should get rid of everything else to take hold of it. That's how valuable it is. Or Jesus puts it another way. So I'm really trying to drum this in today, okay? I know it's a warm day, but let me just drum this in. Jesus says this. He says, what good is it for a person to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their very soul, their very self? What good is it to have the best career? What good is it to have travelled the most? What good is it to have the best relationships around you and yet to have forfeited your very soul for eternity? The gospel of God's grace is a matter of life and death. Eternal life and eternal death. You know, what good is it if a person has everything, but every comfort in this life now, but forfeits their soul for eternity? What the gospel of God's grace holds out to us by faith in Jesus is to be believed to the very end, to be kept on believing. As followers of Jesus, if that's you this morning, there are many things that will try and pull you off that course of trusting Jesus to the end. There are many things, many situations that will try and knock you off course. There will be times when you're tempted to value the preservation of your own comfort rather than trust the Lord Jesus. There might be relationships that draw you away from trusting Jesus. Friendships that are no good. There might be jobs that kind of you think, well, that's okay, but then over time it just demands more and more of your time and your life, and maybe even start saying, well, you know, we need you to work Sundays as well. So then you can't even get to church and be with God's people. And eventually you see what happens is it stops you trusting Jesus. Situations that may test our faith. Perhaps you encounter an illness. Perhaps it's a death in the family. Perhaps it's opposition just mocking you for believing in Jesus. There are many things, friends, that want to pull us off the course of trusting Jesus for our whole life. Life, for some of us, just might seem a little bit easier if we don't trust Jesus. If I don't have to do what he tells me, life's just comfortable because I'm doing it my way. And some of us may think, well, that's easier. Do you see this morning, can I ask you, do you see the value of the gospel of God's grace? Do you see it as a treasure worth giving everything up for? Worth believing to the very end? Whatever the cost? Do you see how valuable it is? Do you see how important to finish this race of God's grace is for your own soul? Standing firm in the true grace of God. It's worth your life. It is worth your career. It is worth your comfort. It is worth your hobbies. It is worth your very own life to finish that race trusting Jesus. And that's how someone thinks when they understand how valuable the gospel is. You see, Alex and Susanna, before you guys are servants of Jesus, actually, like the rest of us, you're those who've been saved by Jesus. You see, before any of us are given a task by Jesus, we are first those who are in desperate need of the grace of God. And actually, nothing in life, nothing this world can offer, nor even your own life, is worth more than God's grace to us in Jesus. And so let me ask you this morning, what would you endure in this life for the sake of sticking with Jesus to the very end? What would you let die in your life for the sake of sticking with Jesus to finish the race? And this morning, for some of you, it may be that actually what you need to do this morning is start that race. For some of you this morning, maybe you need to join the race by trusting in the Lord Jesus. This race of God's grace where he bestows kindness upon you. And you need to get in that race. And you need to stick with Jesus to the very end. Seeing the worth of the gospel. So that's way number one. Okay, that's the model he sets, verse 24. Way number two of thinking though is this. Good news, the good news of Jesus is worth everything you have to keep speaking to the very end. My wife often accuses me of failing to finish jobs that I start off. Now, some of you might be thinking that about me leaving a church plant, but I trust God; He's got it in hand. But actually, it's a true point. Okay, in fairness to my wife, this is true. So, if I wash up, I'm the sort of guy who leaves the water in the bowl and the cloth on the side, and then I walk away and I say, "Well, I finished washing up," but she says, "No, you have not finished." Because the bowl is still full of water. Or if I decorate a room, you know, I'll go to all the glory of painting the room, but then I'll leave all the decorating stuff in the corner of the room for months. Like the paint pots and the brushes that just sit there. She says, "You haven't finished the job." And I say, "I have. It looks beautiful." But then she says, "But what about the pile of decorating stuff?" She accuses me of not finishing, which is a fair point, just to be fair to my wife. But actually, can I show you something this morning? Paul was given a job to do, a task which he was to finish. Look again at verse 24. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me." Paul was given a task to do, a job to do. It's a job that he was prepared to give up his whole life to the point of his very own being to finish. Just look at what he says. Again, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to complete this task. Now, what is the task that he was given? Well, it is the task, if you look very carefully on verse 24, of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, you testify to something when you've experienced it, when you've tasted it, when you've seen it. And Paul was a man, if you know anything about Paul, he was a man who went around on a rampage for Christians. He was putting them in prison, he was killing them, he was travelling from city to city. And you think, well, here's a man who could never become a Christian. Here's a man who could never follow Jesus. But he tasted the grace of God. God could have just, kind of forgive the imagery, but he could have just kind of zapped him from the sky and said, right, you're causing havoc for my people. Boom, off you go, off the face of the planet. He could have done that. But what does he do? He takes this man who's murdering Christians and he meets him on a road. And he says, oh, Saul as his name was then, Saul, you're doing the wrong thing. You're against me. And he shows him kindness. And he turns this man, Saul, from a name hater into a name carrier. From someone who hates the name of Jesus into someone who loves Jesus. You see that grace? See, we wouldn't have picked to do that, would we? But that's God's grace. He picks people and he loves them even though they've done nothing to deserve it. And Paul was a man who tasted that grace. Just as most of us in this room have. We have tasted the kindness of God to us. And his task was to go around testifying to that. Can I tell you how great Jesus is? Can I tell you how kind God is? Can I tell you that there's forgiveness? I know it's true because look what I did and look who I am now. In other words, he went around preaching Jesus. He proclaimed Jesus as risen. And the one who forgives everyone who comes to him in repentance and faith. You know that word task, if you look there, the task of testifying? It's the word in its original language from which we get the word serving, service. Paul saw himself as a servant of Jesus. He went around working for Jesus, telling people about the gospel of God's grace. And the one who had served him, the Lord Jesus, served him by dying on a cross that he might be forgiven, was then kind of adopted into Paul's mindset. He said, well, Jesus served me like that so I could be saved. So I want to then go around serving others like that. I'm willing to lay down my life so that others can hear the good news of Jesus too. Do you see that? He's imitating Jesus. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, whatever it costs me. I'm willing to lay down my life. So that others might hear the good news of Jesus. Jesus had called Paul to carry his name before the nations. And the people all over the world, you see, that was the point. People all over the world could come to Jesus and taste of this grace that he was testifying about. For Paul, a love of Jesus and a love of those who needed the grace of God drove him to say, whatever it takes, I'm going to keep speaking about this gospel to the very end. Now, even that task, you see, for Paul, that task cost him dearly. He was a man who put his money where his mouth was, if that's the right phrase. Can I read you his CV? Do you want to hear? So look at verse 24 with me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. Really, Paul? Is that really true? Well, listen to this from another part of the Bible. Are they servants of Christ? Paul says. I'm out of my mind to speak like this, he says. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. That means he was pretty close to dying. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have laboured and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked, and besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? See that? Here is a man who could truly say with the help of his Saviour, I consider my life worth nothing to me, only if I can complete this task of proclaiming Jesus. Friends, if you are in the grace race this morning, following Jesus, then we too are his servants. Do you know that? We may not have the place and status of Paul in life, of an apostle, but we've all been given the task of testifying to the grace that we've tasted. Matthew 28, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations. How do you make a disciple? You tell them about the grace of God. You tell them about Jesus. And so I've got a question for you this morning. Do you see the gospel of God's grace as worth so much that you would give up everything for others to hear it? How far would you go for someone else to hear that gospel? Do you value the love of our Saviour so much that you would lay down your life to testify about it to other people? You know, that's the model mindset. That's the verse. That's what he's imitating, wants us to imitate. If you value the gospel so highly, then you will want to keep doing it, preaching it to the end. What comforts would you be prepared to give up for others to hear about Jesus? What money would you spend, or to what would you go without to see this task fulfilled? It's not just Alex and Susanna. Let me ask you, what country would you be willing to move to so that people could hear the good news about Jesus? What mocking or exclusion would you face and endure from your family, from this community, so that others might hear the good news of God's grace? We sing it sometimes in a song. I think it's Let Your Kingdom Come, the song we sing. But we says, by grace we will preach your gospel till our dying breath. And we stand and we sing that with all our hearts here. By grace we'll preach. Do we mean it? What will you give up to make sure we do that? Alex and Susanna, if I can just say something personally to you guys. I'm sure that there are going to be some tough times ahead for you guys. All that moving around. All that getting used to a new community, a new way of operating. And I think there are going to be times where you guys are tempted to say, what are we doing? Why have we come here? Why have we left this behind? Where you're tempted back to the familiar. Where you're tempted back to the comfortable. And on many occasions, may you remember, please, that the gospel is worth so much that it's worth giving up everything for. It is so precious. It is the way so many will be saved. It is the way this God is at work in this world. That you might say with Paul, I consider our lives worth nothing, that only we might finish the race and complete this task. And for all of us, you see, the gospel of God's grace is worth so much. It can save so many. It brings so much praise to our God that it is worth everything. It is worth everything to keep speaking it to the end. And so I come back to where I started. What is it that is worth so much that Alex and Susanna are prepared to leave this country, to leave a family they love, a church they love? What is worth so much to them that they would do that? And what is worth so much to people all over this world that they give up everything for it? The simple answer is the good news of God's grace. It is the message of Jesus Christ crucified and risen, that we might be forgiven and restored to the relationship with God that we were made to have. And Alex and Susanna, as you guys head off, may that gospel remain such a treasure to you guys that you regularly reminded why you're doing what you're doing. And for the rest of us, actually, whilst it may look very different for us to stay in Edmonton to these guys flying off to Nairobi and then on to Tanzania, may Jesus help us to be those who can say with Paul, however I consider my life, we consider our lives worth nothing to us. Our only aim is that we might finish the race and that we might speak about Jesus until we die, especially to this community of Edmonton. May God help us by his Spirit to do that together, to model that mindset of a missionary. Let's stand and sing together before we pray. But let's stand and sing the chorus of the saved. You see, that's what we're aiming for, is that people just keep getting added to this number of people who praise Jesus for his kindness to us. Let's sing together.